Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34, and I'm reading from the Common English Bible. Then Jesus said, "This is what God's kingdom is like. It's as though someone scatters seed on the ground, then sleeps and wakes night and day. The seed sprouts and grows, but the farmer doesn't know how. The earth produces crops all by itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full head of grain. Whenever the crop is ready, the farmer goes out to cut the grain again, or cut the grain because it is harvest time." He continued, "What's a good image for God's kingdom? What parable can I use to explain it? Consider a mustard seed. When scattered on the ground, it's the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. But when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all vegetable plants. It produces such large branches that the birds in the sky are able to nest in its shade." With many such parables, he continued to give them the word, as much as they were able to hear. He spoke to them only in parables, then explained everything to his disciples when he was alone with them. This is the word of God for the people of God. So pretend with me for just a minute that when we get up from our pews today, we're not just going to go out and have dinner, but pretend with me for a minute today that we are starting something amazing. I don't know what it is. Maybe we'll figure it out today, but we're starting something amazing. New program. We're going to be inviting people. We're hoping for the best, that there's going to be a lot of people coming in the doors and they're going to be anticipating. And we need to be ready for them to be here. So pretend with me for a moment that that's what mindset we're in today. So if people are going to be coming in brand new and we want them to be not just drawn in, how are we going to draw them in the first place? What are we going to do to get people to come in the door? How would you get people in the door?
Tell them.
What else? Invite them. How do we do that? How do we do those things? What? By talking to them? Okay, what else? How do we get them to come to the breakfast? How do we?
Yeah,
we got banners. Food?
Food.
We will be talking about food this season of Lent also. I'm glad you reminded me because I almost forgot. It's not written.
I got it from the last
year. Yeah. I learned this week, started a new evangelism class this week, and our professor, he seemed like this really quiet guy when the class started, and I have already really enjoyed listening to him. But he tells us about Jesus being a foodie, and I didn't realize it. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit in the Lenten season. I'm pretty excited about it. But anyway, so food, yes. What else to get them to just come? Needs to be like accessible, maybe. You got to have something to just kind of draw them here. Then when they get here, when they come through the door, what do they need to encounter when they get here? It doesn't matter what the program is. It could be VBS, it could be the youth program, it could be anything. What do they need to encounter when they walk in the door? What do you need to encounter when you walk in the door?
A welcome.
Smiles. Somebody who'll take your trash.
Yeah.
That's sometimes really helpful.
Sincerity?
Yeah. Music? Warmth? Needs to be comfortable?
Smells good.
Oh, yes. You ever go to one of those restaurants that just perpetually smells like sewer drain? And you're like, I can't eat here? Yeah, gotta smell good. Yeah. Sight and sound theater, that's an experience, right? What kinds of things do they use to get people excited?
Animals.
Animals are good. We have Ophi. Music. Yeah, so we have all of this to get done today before everybody gets here. What? We got a lot to do, right? So we're going to be in a hurry, right? When we first get up today, we're going to be in a hurry because there's a lot to get done. And they need to be able to witness stuff when they're here. They need to be able to hear not just somebody stand up here and tell about the word, but they need to be able to go out to the fellowship dinner and hear each other say, oh my gosh, this is what God did recently or ever in my life that was so amazing, that changed me, and I can't wait to share it with you. They need to hear the witness. Things that had to be God. And then after we get all this going and everybody is on track, we can relax for a second and pause and ponder our why. You see, the first three chapters of the gospel that we're in today in Mark is like that first part. Like if we actually got up and we got busy doing these things and engaging the people, that's the first three chapters of Mark. Mark, they set off a gun at the beginning, go! And everybody took off on a race, and people have been witnessing the works of Jesus. They've been hearing Jesus preach and speak about things that they hadn't heard before. They have been amazed. We read that over and over, amazed by his teaching, because nobody taught the way Jesus taught. And so for the first three chapters, Jesus is the new program. Now, I don't want to belittle Jesus by calling him a program, because we know Jesus is so much more than a program. But at that time, Jesus was a brand new program. So for our pretend this morning, those people in the Jewish community there had not heard someone who spoke with grace and love, who spoke to everyone, and no one was left out. Throughout the Old Testament, God, and I know that's hard sometimes for folks to hear that. When I went back and read the Bible later in life, I heard where God showed grace so many times over and over and over, even in that Old Testament. And so God's been showing grace to the people since the beginning of time. But it was so hard for people who were trying so hard to live within the law to see the grace. The law sometimes didn't seem to allow for love and an extension to everyone and grace. So Jesus came and embodied all of those things, and this was stuff they weren't used to hearing. Generosity, healing, equality, concepts that were almost foreign. It's a brand new program. So Mark was rushing during those first three chapters of his writing, launching this thing that wasn't called Christianity, by the way. I asked this at Ohio Street. Didn't have any takers, did I? Anybody here a Star Wars fan? Oh, I am glad at least a couple people are Star Wars fans here. My professor. You know, he shares his screen with us on Zoom, and he has nothing but Star Wars stuff all over his computer, and I was like, yes! Probably why I thought of it. In the early church, they didn't call it Christianity. It was called The Way. So for all you Mandalorian Star Wars fans, this is The Way. You know, a couple years ago, if you remember, I did a sermon series about The Way, and H was keeping track of our online hits, and he was putting the video up, and those were the, like, biggest views we had was when we had a sermon series about The Way. So I think all the Star Wars fans was at Virginia Church there for a little bit. So the launch of The Way had happened. Jesus had entered the world, and the bits of the world that saw Jesus in person were amazed and moved by his teaching and his healing. And they've gone through the 100-yard dash together in chapters 1 through 3. And today, we're in this chapter 4. And the gospel goes from all of this really hurrying and all of this launching. And it takes a breath. And it pauses to go a little deeper. Because once we get going and we're in such a hurry, sometimes we have to pause and remember our why, especially when we're really tired because we just started. We've got to remember why we're doing things along the way. And so the scripture goes a little deeper into the why. And so chapter 4 has lots of stories, lots of parables. It says Jesus taught pretty much just in parables here, but three of them were about seeds. And I came across a question while I was researching the seeds this week that reminded me of something I recall saying a few times during the Christmas season. Now, if you remember, during Christmas, I kept pondering why God came into the earth as Jesus, as something so small and so vulnerable and so dependent on other people. And, you know, I came across that same question this week regarding the seeds. Because the scripture tells us the kingdom of God is like, and then we have these seed references, and they said, why would God use something so vulnerable and something so small and something that needed nurturing to even talk about the kingdom of God. So I hope as we go through the message today, you might listen for that and see if we might even get a little bit of an answer as to why something so small was used to represent the world in these ways. In verses 1 through 21, if you've ever heard any of the seed parables, it's probably the one found in Mark 4, 1 through 21, where we hear about the farmer who scatters the seeds. And the seeds land on four different kinds of places. The first one is the path, where the birds can easily get them. That's the front doors. That's what's bringing people to the building. That's the advertisement. That's the word of mouth. That's the things that draw people in to get here. But if all they ever get is the things that get them to the door, then they're easy targets for Satan. And Satan is able to pluck them right back off of that path. So those are the first ones. Well, the second ones land where there isn't much soil. And so the roots are shallow. And so they've come on in the doors, and they've heard, and they've enjoyed the music, but the word wasn't really something that sunk in, and so their roots didn't go far. And it was easy for them to forget or to get bored, really, and move on to some other place. And then there's the third seeds. The third seeds are the ones who fall on the rocky soil. Where the thorns are, where the weeds are. I remember when John and I were first married and I planted some kind of pretty vine that I really liked out in front of our house and I was proud of it. And his dad came over and I said, "Look at my plants, don't you like them?" And Elvis looked at him and he said, "Morning glory, I fight that every day in the field." I said, "John, is that really morning glory?" He goes, "I don't know, I think Dad thinks everything's a morning glory if it's a body. I fight those because they choke out the crop." Now these are the folks who are excited and they come in and they hear the word and they actually kind of want to do the work. They want to be on the path. They have a desire for God, but these are the folks who just can't quite let go of the things that walked in the door with them. And if we're honest with ourselves, some days probably that's all of us. Some days we probably can't let go of the stuff that walks in the door with us. I knew a young man at one point that he wanted to do the work, or he seemed to want to do the work, and he went to church and stuff, but he used to say, I don't mind being a Christian, but I'm not ready to give up the things that I enjoy. I'm not ready to give up the stuff I like to look at, or the things that I like to hear, or the places that I like to go, or the things that I like to put in my body. I'm not ready for that. And so he was like in the weeds, the seed in the weeds. And then there's that fourth one, the one who falls in the fertile soil and grows and produces a big crop. These are the ones that shine the light of God through them. Now Jesus pauses for just a minute here in his seed analogies to talk about that light and not hiding it. And then at verse 26, he begins with these words. This is what God's kingdom is like. And then he starts talking again about the scattered seeds. But this time, he doesn't talk about soil. He doesn't talk about those who are hit and miss. He doesn't talk about the chances. He doesn't talk about who's going to hear it and not receive it, or the ones that might receive it but not go all the way to God. Because in the first parable, Jesus is talking about human work. Humans scatter the seeds, and then humans do one thing or another where they land. That is all human work. But now he moves a little further, and he goes from talking about the human work and talks here about the work of God. I'll give you a little spoiler here, too, about this kingdom of God. It's like, we'll be talking about this a lot during the Lenten services that the Ministerial Alliance is going to be doing. We'll be breaking down these parables even more. But today, we're just in this little section here where God is moving from this human, or Jesus is moving from the human work into the work of God. Now, our human hands, do we make mistakes? Anybody here make mistakes besides me? Every day. When God sets out to do something, if God has decided it will be done, how often does God's plan fail? Never. God never fails. He is successful 100% of the time. That does not mean we will understand what he's doing. It does not mean that we're even going to see what it is that he's doing. And that's what this parable is teaching us. I don't know if you noticed our jar up here this morning. We had a light on it at the other service, and it was easier to see. So I'll move it down here where you can kind of see this one. I sent out notes to my friends at Ohio Street that helped me put together worship stuff, and I have Robin Namath is the one who comes up with my visual things, and I said, I feel like we need to see the roots that are under the ground, but I don't know how to facilitate that we could see the roots under the ground, so she came up with this. But usually, especially in the time of Christ, you could never have seen what was going on below the surface, down where those roots were. I'm guessing they didn't have clear glass back then. And they didn't really have jars that way. So a farmer would plant the seed and walk away. And the planting season, by the way, is a little bit hairy, just like the first of the sermon, right? When you get ready to start the season where you're going to put in all the crops, is there a couple things to do, Dennis? Does it get a little busy? Yeah. Yeah, you gotta plan what you're going to plant. Got to find the seed, probably have to get the best price, get them ordered, get your equipment ready, because even though you probably fixed it before you put it in the barn last time you used it, it needs fixed again, because that's tractors. You got to plan out your workers, you got to plan out which fields, you got to account for the weather. There's a flurry, there's a hurry, there's a lot of things that have to be done, and just like the beginning of the sermon, but then they put in the crop, and what happens? Now, I know farmers are going to go in and they're going to fight the boarding glories. They're going to fight the bugs. They're going to do everything they can to help that soil be rich in nutrients. They're going to do everything they can to help that seed once it decides to grow. But tell me, farmers in this room, what do you do inside that seed to make it sprout? Nothing. There's nothing that you can do. You can do everything you can to help it, but you can't make that life come forth from that seed. That's God work. That's beyond the surface. That's the part that we can't possibly even fully understand. I'm sure with all the science now, they think they've got stuff figured out, but we can't make DNA exist on our own. And yet inside that seed, there is DNA for life. And that's where the mystery of God does its work. And it's the same with the seeds of faith that we plant. We can pray for someone else. We can teach someone else. We can preach to someone else. We can bring them to church. We can invite them to church. We can drive to their house, pick their clothes, give them breakfast, drive them to the door, carry them in, and set them in the pew. But can we open the heart of someone else to hear the word any more than a farmer can go in there and make that seed erupt? We can plant the seeds. But God is the one who has to do the work to make it come to life. The kingdom of God is like. God is doing the work. And we're supposed to rest. This is the farmer puts in the crop and then rests and waits for the process. Because God has a plan and a process. The kingdom of God is like, you do what you can do, but then you're just going to have to put your faith into me. So I ask you, I have a lot of questions for you this morning. What's heaven look like? Anybody know for sure? Does it smell like? Does it feel like? What does it sound like? I know when my kids were little, Mallory and Sammy were sitting in the back of our van riding to church one Sunday morning, and they were just chit-chatting and giggling, and they were saying that heaven was smelled like cookies and is where Santa lived when he wasn't working. That was their theory anyway. to them, that was probably great, right? Jesus doesn't really tell us what heaven is like. But the DNA for God's kingdom, for heaven, is inside each and every one of you sitting there. God's heaven, the kingdom, is inside all of us. Why a tiny, vulnerable baby? Because all of salvation's DNA was inside it. And we could be in awe of that. Why a seed, a tiny little seed, vulnerable? Because life and DNA for life is inside of that. Tiny things that erupt into an entire life form. The DNA of a plant or a tree is inside of a little tiny seed. We can hold it in our hand, we can put it in the earth. And even if we choose not to plant it, that DNA is still gonna be there. We can't wrap our minds around it. I was testing my sermon out last night on John, and I'm like, I'm confused listening to myself. I can't wrap my mind around all of this, but this is what it is. The potential for life in a seed. Just take it in, and the kingdom of God is like that. We can kind of, you know, imagine things where cookies and Santa and all the good things are, but we can't really explain it to anybody in words. So we wait. We trust the process of grace and of God to bring to us the kingdom. And the best news of all is that all of this is free of charge. The kingdom is like the seed that we can hold and plant and sleep and rest, and yet the kingdom is ours for free, even within ourselves. We can't choose God for others, but we can for ourselves. We carry ourselves to the one who will bring us into the kingdom. Well, now after Jesus finished this parable, he sat down, and I feel like in my mind when I read this scripture, Jesus is thinking out loud, and he says, how can I tell you in words something that you will understand and yet something that you have absolutely no reference point to be able to understand? How can I tell you something that you just can't? And so I was thinking about that in verse 30 where he says, what's a good image for the kingdom and how can I get you to imagine? So I'd like for us to think about that in today's terms and imagine what it was like to be Jesus at the time trying to do this when he didn't have images and we wouldn't. So put yourself in Jesus's shoes, and we're not even going to talk heaven here. I'm going to talk something we can relate to. So 2,000 and some years ago, you have no device on you, you have no paper, you have no book, you have your body and whatever, you know, clothing you have on. That is what you have at your disposal, and your voice. And you're going to sit down and you're going to explain to the people of Jesus' time, internet. Go. How do you explain that? I mean, to give them even a framework of what that would be for. what's a computer? You know? I mean, where do you even begin to try and explain internet? I mean, we can't hardly explain it to each other. Like, what does it do? What does it sound like? How do you use it? What is it for? So Jesus sits down and he says to them, how do I put this into words that you're going to understand when there's no frame of reference for you what heaven is like? So he just says, consider the tiny mustard seed, the smallest one of their time that grows into the largest vegetable plant that they had around, and it would benefit every creature in its midst. The kingdom of God is like that. Unimaginable. Complete miracle. Growth, love, generosity, equality. You can't even wrap your mind around it, but that's what it is. And that is the basis for what we call here among ourselves, faith. That seed, that's faith. We can't imagine it. We can't even do the work. God has to do the work. We can believe, but we can't carry ourselves into heaven. God has to bring us there. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus set out on this race, fast, furious, doing, being, healing. And today he gave us a chance to pause and take in why we're doing it in the first place. What the race of life is even about. What does the finish line look like. And he tells us, well, you can't imagine it, but it looks like this. So for now, I suppose, what we're meant to do is to plant the seeds of faith wherever we go, and then rest in the mystery of God's work that it will be done, and trust that one day all will be revealed, and forevermore we will be in awe of the majesty of what's been going on beneath the surface the entire time that only God could see. The kingdom of God is like. And I'm not going to finish this sentence. I want you to wrestle with it. I want you to ponder it. I want you to wear it as a warm blanket this week and let it keep you warm and inspired and excited and also faithful. The kingdom of God is life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing your word this week. Lord, I just love when you put all these connections together. Father, that these parables, that we can hold on to them and cling to them and ponder them. And Lord, may we never lose our childlike interest in figuring out even a new word and what it means to us in your scriptures. I just pray, Lord, that we would desire this more than anything, to continue trying to answer the question, to continue seeking to know why it is we're in this race, to continue wondering what's the finish line look like, to continue handing those seeds to other people and then not pushing, but instead trusting, praying, and being the ones who are the hands and the feet of you when someone else is in need. Lord, I just pray that we would be uplifted and inspired. Lord, we just love you so much, and it is in love for you that we pray. Amen.